Welcome to Faith Walking Conversations. In this episode, Ken Schumann and a group of faith walkers reflect on the topic Five Characteristics of a Regressive Society. This conversation was originally recorded in June of 2020. We want to remind you that Faith Walking's mission is to make wholeness possible for individuals, communities, and the world. Visit us at www.faithwalking.us. Join this conversation. I'm looking through the eyes of love. I'm gonna look twice at you until I see the Christ in you. I'm gonna look twice. Good to see all of you again. I found out yesterday that there is going to be a peaceful protest here in my little community on tomorrow. And it's being done by people I have no relationship to or with. And so that's been a little interesting and curious, but kind of came down yesterday evening. And so, so tomorrow I'll be participating with a group of folks here in the large community of Tomball, Texas. We are a suburb of Houston, but our own little community. And, so the group's got an approval from our city manager. The police department will be out and, we'll be a part of it's going to be a short little march of about 10 blocks, from HEB, which is the grocery store chain here in Texas, down to City Hall. So, I would appreciate y'all's prayer. My hope is that it'll remain really peaceful. But I posted on Facebook today that I'm participating for me, not for anybody else. And it doesn't matter what their agenda is or what their, beliefs are. I'm going for me and to stand for what I want to stand for. So, just with all that's going on, I'm glad that I've got a really close opportunity to do that. Don't have to. And by the way, the HEB is about 10 blocks from my house. So actually I'm going to HEB further away and then back to the City Hall, which is actually about 4 blocks from where I live. So, should be fun. I'd appreciate y'all praying with me related to that.
What time was that? Main Street, the old 2920?
Yes, ma'am. We're going right down Main Street. The police are going to cordon it off for us. So we're going from if you're familiar with Tomball, we're going from four corners in Tomball, 249, 2920, and we're headed, that'd be west, no, east. Would be headed east on 2920 down toward Main Street down toward the old part of Tomball and toward the railroad track. If you know us out here, so yeah. Does somebody else have a question or comment?
I just was asking again. What was the time of that going to be?
It is at 4 p.m. tomorrow afternoon, so between 4 and 5. I think that's a good time, even though that's the hottest part of the day. We have actually we have a little bit of low humidity right now, so I'm hoping it will make it work a little better. And so we'll see. I hope some of the folks I know will see my Facebook post and come join me, because I'd love to have some familiar faces along. But anyway, we'll see how that goes. Of course, there's already Tomball has a bit of a history as being a racist community. And so there's already been a lot of angst and a lot of I'm trying to think of the right word in the language. There's definitely resistance and some folks who say they're going to come with their guns to protect and make sure there's no looting and blah, blah, blah. And so it's really, I think, a way to try to intimidate people not to show up. So anyway.
Hillsdale had a march on Monday, and we're also known as a very conservative and somewhat racist community, and it went smoothly and was lovely. So
awesome, Judith.
We'll be praying for you.
Appreciate it. Thank you so much. Thank you.
London's had to cancel a couple of protests this weekend because there's been too many rumors of far-right movement coming to town. So in order to make sure that the protests remain peaceful, the London protests have been canceled this weekend.
Yeah.
Well, I did protest at the U.S. Embassy on last Sunday, though. That was
how fun. Cool is that? Way to go, Courtney. Yeah.
Courtney, can I ask you a quick question, Courtney? I've been seeing on Facebook from people here in Bradford that there's also these rumors about Antifa coming, and there's a huge misunderstanding in the UK about who Antifa is and their methods. So it's, if you guys could pray for that too, because that's now the rumor that they're equating Antifa with the far right white supremacists. Right.
I have
and
no
not
idea.
Understanding. So
yeah.
Anyway,
okay.
A way to keep things calm is just wait a minute, folks.
To be clear, yeah, right. Deborah, there is no such thing. There is no organized body of Antifa, right?
Right.
Okay.
As far as I know,
there is not.
That's what I've been reading and hearing, and even listening to the fact that, you know, probably one of the original anti-fascist that we all in the body of Christ celebrate is Bonhoeffer. He was anti-fascist to the point of plotting.
Well, we're all anti-fascists. I mean, none of us are, right?
Right.
But this gets referred to as an extreme far-left militaristic version.
Yeah.
And more than most of the evidence is pointing to white supremacists, armed white supremacists who are pretending to be to make the left and the minority folks look bad.
Thank you for that. That's what I'm understanding, but I'm still like, I'm learning.
Thank you for pointing it out to me. I honestly had no idea. Thanks.
But they don't use violent methods.
Right. Okay. Thanks.
Great conversation.
Could I ask a question?
Yeah, Tricia.
Can I interrupt? I had trouble with my family life group last night. Several of the people said they didn't understand Black Lives Matter because Jesus died for everybody. So to start talking about Black Lives Matter was to denounce what all Christ had done. And it got a little hairy in the group.
Mm-hmm.
So I would appreciate some feedback on that. I had a headache, so I probably didn't say. I had just had a skin cancer taken out, so I wouldn't say much of anything except going, when will that stop throbbing? So I was not, but I did notice that it created an enormous amount of tension.
Yeah. And
may I offer something? This is
sure.
Colleen. May I offer something?
Uh-huh.
So I'm reading again with a group of, I'm Lutheran, with a group of Lutheran colleagues, the book White Fragility. And that addresses the binary of if I'm racist, that means I'm bad, and I'm not bad, so I'm not racist. And the reality that there is no such thing as a sort of racist community. White folks have privilege to which we have just by virtue of being white, being able to live into without a whole lot of conscious awareness. And there's one Facebook meme that I think captures what we're trying to address with regard to that reaction to Black Lives Matter. And it's a little girl holding a sign that says, "We never said all lives didn't matter. We said Black Lives Matter. And right now, Black lives are in danger. And so we ask for your support," or something like that. Mm-hmm. And another way of thinking of it is that all lives can't matter until Black lives matter. Mm-hmm. And having the conversation is not comfortable and it's tense. And that's how I, as a white woman, describe it, because of my white fragility. And the book White Fragility, I think, walks through just that continuing awareness and deep work that I have to do in having these conversations that are not comfortable. Mm-hmm. and I don't think they're going to be comfortable. But another way of thinking about it is, while it's not comfortable, we can still have them, and we are still alive even after we have the conversation. So mm-hmm. Those are just some things that I'm, you know, growing and thinking through with in this time.
Right. Thank you, Colleen.
Sure.
I saw another one, Tricia, that was helpful. I think just another little meme. And it was the picture of Jesus sitting on a rock teaching the disciples. And he says, "Blessed are the poor." And one of the disciples raises his hand and said, "Wait, Jesus, aren't all people blessed?" Mm. And the emphasis is, yeah, but certain people at certain times get the focus of our attention because there's a need that needs to be focused on. Yes, all lives matter. Obviously, all lives matter. But right now, Black lives, for many people, don't matter or don't matter as much. And so what we want is we want to express that, yeah, and right now we're locking arms with our brothers and sisters who are Black in order to say their lives haven't mattered as much as our lives have mattered, and we think that's wrong, and we want to stand up against it, and we want to say, yeah, all lives do matter, including Black lives, but they haven't mattered. And I think for me, that's the deal. And I totally agree with Colleen that often Christian people and conservative people are trying to save face by saying, well, I'm not a racist. And it's their way of deflecting and saying, okay, oh, that's really not me. When the truth is they're deflecting says it is them. You know, I mean, why can't I have empathy and compassion for a group of people that are being treated unjustly in the world? I mean, that's all it is. Every Christian should want Black lives to matter. Now, am I for looting? Am I for violence? No, I'm not. None of you are either, right? But that's not what the issue is. The issue is, do I believe Black lives matter? And I believe they do. And for many people, they haven't mattered. That's the concern. Does that help?
The scripture
yes, very much. Thank you so much.
The scripture that I like that says that concisely is Luke 15, the story of the sheep, 100 mm-hmm. sheep, and one sheep goes missing. Of course, all the sheep matter, but the one who's missing is the one that the shepherd chases and pursues and brings back into the fold. And that analogy works really beautifully with what we're talking about.
Yeah. The same goes with the story of the two lost sons too. It's mm-hmm. almost like the older brother screaming out, "All lives matter."
Right.
As his dad were.
Yeah. And really he's screaming out, "Doesn't my life matter? I've been faithful. Why pay attention to the prodigal? I've been here the whole time." You're exactly right. It's that deal that, wait, what about me? Rather than saying, no, what about them? And yeah, that sort of thing. Deborah?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Who'd I cut off?
I was just going to say, I feel like it's a no-brainer. I think just sitting over here in London, right? To be perfectly honest, I don't get the Fox News rhetoric over here. And mm-hmm. I really feel like that particular voice is a very much a fear-mongering voice right now. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like I don't understand why white people think if they just give Black people the benefit of the doubt and say, okay, like, we just accept the fact that you guys are crying out for a reason. So let's just see what happens if we get on your side for 5 minutes, and maybe begin to understand. Because it's not like by me saying you have rights now, I give up mine. It's not a piece of pie. It's not a pie we're trying to split in half.
Right.
Like my rights aren't negated because someone else gets their equal rights.
Right.
So I mean, of all the things the church tends to say no to, there's loads of it. This is something we should be like, sweet, we get to say yes.
And like, and our very
thank
argument
God we get to say yes.
Our very argument against it reveals our white privilege.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, if you've ever experienced any injustice in your life, then you know how a person who gets treated unjustly feels. Well, I've been treated unjustly 2 times in my life. You know, I mean, really? I mean, I don't have experience after experience after experience of unjust actions brought against me. And so I don't have the angst. That's my privilege. Deborah.
Yeah. A question I have, I think it started coming through last night on Facebook, with all of us who are using the hashtag Black Lives Matter, I can't breathe. Now a conservative friend has posted on something I wrote that, you shouldn't be doing that, and that the leader of the Southern Baptist Convention. who came out and made the statement that there's somebody wrote on my post, a guy in Houston, as a matter of fact, wrote on my post that he has now said he was taken out of context and that he is against Black Lives Matter, and here's their statement of orientation, that they're after tearing down. And I just thought, wait a minute, God, I think that's trying to shift the conversation.
Right.
Those of us aren't saying we have allegiance to the organization or this bill of things they said. We're just saying what you just said, Ken. So it's like, oh, wow, there's always a new little avenue to come in to say, I don't have to care, see?
Right, exactly. There's a good reason to be angry. There's a good reason to be racist or whatever. And for me, it always comes back to, and what is your resistance about? Why are you so resistant?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, there's a reason that they're so resistant.
So. And we're trying to spend a lot of time just shepherding and discipling on social media.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like, is that even a valid place I should be? But yet I still feel like I should show up there.
Right. Well, and what I try to do on social media, and this is just for me, and it really flows out of our conversation, my thing today, is I just try to define myself on social media. And I never argue, and I won't let myself get into an argument. I just define. This is what I believe. This is what I think. This is what I'm going to do. And in that way, I do think we disciple others via Facebook because we are influencers. We lead others to maybe expand and broaden their thinking. You know, are we going to convert the most radical, difficult? No. But I do think that there are folks who say, I really want to know what the way of Jesus is. And so let me hear from some people that are trying to follow the way of Jesus. And because those are the people I want to follow. I mean, as I thought about when I heard about this event, here in Tomball, I mean, you know, it's got Black Lives Matter all over it in the organization. And somebody made the exact argument that the people made for you. Oh, well, this is, and so I'm not affiliating with the organization. I'm not joining their church, right? I'm just going to walk down the street with them because I'm against racism and I'm for social justice and I want all people to be treated right and fair and I want all African Americans to be treated right and fair and I want all of their children to be able to drive their cars and walk the street without being afraid. just like my kids do. That's what I want. And they aren't getting that. And so I want, and in the wave of everything going on, I want something to change. At the same time, so it does relate to what we're talking about. When everybody around us is anxious, what I'm really working on myself to be is to say, okay, I don't want to just herd with the crowd on either side. I'm not just going with the flow. Oh, well, everybody's on this race thing, so I'm going to get on this race. No, race has been my thing for a long time, and now everybody else is getting on board with me. But what I want to be is I'm going for these reasons. I don't know why everybody else is going, and those reasons are enough. So even if it was just me, I'll go stand on the corner by myself. But because there's a group of people that are doing it, okay, well, I'm going to go walk with them because we are against the same thing, which is racism, even though I don't believe everything maybe the organization or the people believe. Courtney, what?
I mean, I think that most people are pretty quick to, just in related to, I don't agree with everything Black Lives Matter say, I think people be hard pressed to find any movement or any politician that they would 100% agree.
Exactly.
They agree with everything, but they're still willing to vote for them. They're still willing to stand by it because they get it from a majority perspective, it makes sense. So
There's one leader I'm 100% behind. Right? Amen. Jesus. I mean, seriously, there's one leader I'm 100% behind. I'm 100% behind Jesus and the Jesus way. And I recognize the frailty of my humanity in understanding the Jesus way. But as much as I can understand the Jesus way, that's how I'm going to align. That's what I'm going to be for. And even when that takes me out of my comfort zone and causes me to do stuff, I'm not really an activist. I'm a teacher. So I'd rather just stay behind the scenes and teach. But hey, here's an opportunity to be an activist. Let's go join with the activists. And I'm going to do that. So in our sheet today, let me just highlight a little bit. It's okay because the conversation is great. It's a section primarily from the thinking of Edwin Friedman and his book, A Failure of Nerve. And what he does is he takes family systems, Bowen family systems, and interprets it just a little bit differently, but I find it helpful. So within family systems theory, there is this principle that when anxiety increases in a culture, in a society, in an organization, in a family, or in a church, when anxiety increases, people's behavior decreases. Their level of emotional maturity decreases. And we're seeing that all around us. And he highlights and talks about that there are five things that occur. There are five evidences or characteristics. The first one is everybody gets reactive. Well, that's exactly what we're seeing. The friends at the Bible study last night, Tricia, were reactive. There are people in my community that are reactive. And in reactivity, what we end up doing is we diagnose, we label people. And so for us who want to be different, and I believe Jesus modeled all these things, for me is, how do I respond based on my best thinking? What do I believe? What do I think? What am I going to do? See, I know there's a lot of I in that, but I'm not talking about selfishness. I'm just talking about, here's how I define myself. And so I'm not going to be reactive. And I often try to distinguish two ideas. I can react out of my anxiety, and that's an unthinking. Or I can respond based on my best thinking, which is I've got to think about it. I've got to think about what I think and what I believe and what I'm going to do and what I'm not going to do. And then I behave upon that. So when all of everybody around us is reacting, let's not react. Let's get clear about what we think, clear about what we believe, and then respond accordingly. Is that clear enough? Make sense? The second characteristic is hurting. Mike DeRider, Tammy's husband, led us in a conversation about polarization on Wednesday and really clearly helped us see that when anxiety goes up, we tend to clump together with other people in herds. So without even thinking, oh yeah, I'm with everything this group does. We give up what we think, we give up what we believe, and we just go along with the crowd because it feels safer to be along with the crowd. Or in herding, it's this idea that peace, just keeping the peace, is more important than making progress. And that statement is really powerful right now in these days of all, because here's what I hear from some of my Christian friends. Well, can't we just all get along? Well, that sounds like a good deal, right? I want us all to get along. But the truth is, right now, we need to take a stand to make progress in our country against an injustice. And so for me, that's the antidote for hurting, is to say, can I take a stand based on my own principles? Even if it's against either crowd. So there's the conservative crowd, there's a liberal crowd. Well, what if I don't want to go with either crowd? Well, yeah, can I take a stand based on what I believe? That's what that one's about. The third characteristic is blaming. That is, we look for somebody to blame. And in a lot of the resistance, that's what I hear. Well, can't we just blame somebody for the problem? I mean, you know, it's their own fault because they, quote unquote, they, whoever they is, do this or they do that, or this group's affiliated with this or with that. Yeah, and so blame displacement. The antidote for blame displacement is I take responsibility for myself and I take responsibility for my own choices. I don't need to blame anybody. In this issue, can I own my own white privilege? Can I own my own racism? What, in whatever form it looked like? Growing up, I lived in the country, and my nearest neighbors were of an African-American family. So the kids that I played with growing up were black. Sounds great. Sounds like you're not a racist. Yeah, and I'm still a racist. Because there were just things I didn't see. There were things I didn't know. I have horrible stories I can tell of just my ignorance, of not knowing some things. And so racism isn't necessarily I chose to be a racist. Racism is about, it was just ingrained in me as a white person in America. So we don't blame, we take responsibility for ourselves and our choices. The fourth characteristic is a quick fix mentality, which is when we get anxious, all we want is for this all to just go away. Let's just fix it. I mean, it's the same with the pandemic. Can't we just get the immunization or surely, whatever that medicine was that got trumpeted as a cure for a while, surely that's the answer because we want a quick fix, right? And it doesn't matter. We just get in a rush. And what we end up doing is we try to avoid the pain of struggle in order to get to the finish line. And what I believe, especially in this racial issue, this is going to be a long, painful journey. It's going to stretch us. It's going to be hard. I think that's why we haven't dealt with it before, because it's long and hard. And so if we give in to the quick fix, can't we just pop a pill? Can't we just quiet these people down? Instead, and I love the quote, and it's a key part of my life, and it's helping me grow in my own emotional maturity and differentiation. Raising our own threshold for the pain another is experiencing can often motivate the other to take more responsibility for his or herself. And that's in relationships. And I think, so some of the resistance is about, can't this just go away and can't we just get a quick fix? And what needs to happen is some of our friends need to struggle for a while. They need to be in emotional discomfort. They need to feel, hey, no, this isn't going away quickly. There's not a pill for this. And so I'm raising my own threshold and I'm helping them raise their threshold. Does that make sense? And then the final characteristic is a lack of well-differentiated leadership. I love this one because I'm a teacher. I teach leadership, and I've been a student of leadership for 25 or 30 years. A good leader doesn't need the approval of others. And a good leader, though he or she doesn't need the approval of others, stays connected with everybody. That's a well-differentiated leader. A well-differentiated leader has the capacity to take a stand. I like this. A well-differentiated leader is someone who can be separate while still remaining connected. So we don't just say it's my way and the highway, I don't care what you think. This is what's it's no. How do we stay connected while we define ourselves? It's the ability and the willingness to take a stand at the risk of displeasing people, which many of us are faced with in this issue, while also remaining connected to them. So can I take a stand and remain connected? And then I don't know how many of you read or know of Richard Rohr and get his daily devotion. But his daily devotion today, and by the way, we get those daily, and I read about every fifth one, maybe. There's just too much. But today I read it, and it was really good. And what Rohr did was, and the only way we're going to be able to show up differently is through silence, solitude, and contemplation. So that, and here's what he said, and I've changed the wording just slightly, but contemplation allows for God's presence, and God's presence and stillness must be at the very center of our being. God's presence and stillness at the very center of our being. And it really impacted me because tomorrow when I go on the walk, and hopefully it's going to be really peaceful, but what if it's not? What if trouble breaks out? And by the way, I've been in that before, and I don't like it. But if trouble breaks out, you know what I want? I want the stillness of God deep at the center of my being. Because I know me, I have a tendency to want to fight, not physically, but verbally. And I want the peace and stillness of God at the center. And so just tying that with this whole conversation. So when anxiety gets high, what do? We react, we hurt, we blame, we want a quick fix. We don't have well-differentiated leadership. And the only thing that's really going to empower us to be different is the presence of that stillness of God, the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, being deep within us. And that comes through prayer, contemplation, silence, solitude, living a reflective life is the way we say it in faith walking. All right. Well, let's just, so what's that stir up for you? What questions do you have? Y'all do the talking now, and let me just listen. What do you think?
Ken?
Yes, ma'am. Go for it.
Why did you title this talk Characteristics of a Regressive Society? There's an obvious implication in that given today.
Yeah. Mainly because that's the language Friedman uses. And he says that, so when anxiety rises, people begin to behave at lower levels of maturity, and that's the indication of regression. We often want to put that in spiritual language, and of course, spiritual language is included in that, but he would say the evidence of regression are all of these characteristics that are as a result of reactivity to anxiety and low levels of emotional maturity.
So can we be regressing even as we are progressing? Arguably, the movement is moving us forward.
Yeah.
What should be happening, but are we doing so at a negative backward way?
Yeah. That's a great question and probably deeper question than I have the ability to answer, Tammy. But it's a great question, and it's one I'm thinking about and actually praying about. Okay, Lord, in the midst of societal regression, how do we make progress? How do we move forward? Is it possible? So I think one thing that I believe is, just because overall there's a regression doesn't mean the 11 of us have to be regressing. Right? So can I manage my own anxiety? Can I show up? Can we have some well-defined leaders who may not have a position or a title or a name or be elected, but there are people, you all are leaders. So be well-defined. So can we be different? I think that's really my encouragement here is, in the midst of a regressive society, can we show up different? Can we show up better? This is the part I'm wondering and I'm thinking about is, and it'll be fascinating to watch, because that's all we can do is watch, is in the midst of, so everybody's experiencing emotional pain and discomfort right now. Will it make us grow up? So you with me? So just as a culture, as a society, everybody, the high anxiety around the pandemic, and now, and really, it's only natural that then something showed up as another symptom, because the anxiety was already high, and so now the racism thing has emerged. There'll be probably something else after this that emerges, and it just increases. So we're in a lot of emotional pain and discomfort. Some people will not mature because they won't take responsibility for themselves. But will people start to take responsibility more for their lives? And if so, then we have the possibility to grow as a culture and society. I mean, what I study shows that it kind of comes in ups and downs and waves, roller coaster. Okay, we go through a period of regressive society, and then we grow, and there's more maturity, and then we fall off again. I think we're in the downturn. Have we hit the bottom yet? Becomes the question. Did any of that come close to answering your question?
Yeah, it did. Thank you very much. I think what I'm hearing you say is that what Faith Waqie teaches on a personal and individual level can be extrapolated to a societal level.
Correct. Great.
But it still happens at the individual level first.
It does. It does. I can only change me. What I want to change is my community. So I'm going to go march on Saturday because I want my community to change. Maybe I can influence some people. Again, family systems teaches us just as anxiety is contagious, calmness and clarity and definition is contagious also. So, okay, so let me show up and be calm. Let me, or at least less anxious. Let me show up and be well-defined. Let me be willing to take a stand. And maybe others then will be influenced by me or you when each of you do that. Are you willing to take a stand? And I mean, that's why I do what I do, because I think, I take responsibility for me and changing me, but I also then stay connected to others. And that, because of me staying connected, that opens the possibility that I will influence the people that I'm connected to.
Yeah. Thank you. I have one more question, but I really want to wait and let other people talk. If there's time, I'll ask it later. Okay. Unmuting.
Don't let me forget it. Margaret, how about Margaret next?
Yeah, I'll be really quick. I'm speaking for myself. I know that in the past, in my pre-Christian days, and even in my Christian days, that I have done exactly as you've said, because it's a human response to threat. When you become anxious, that you withdraw, you go to a safe place. Let me hide among the crowd. So mm-hmm. Can't we all be peaceful?
Yeah.
But God's taken me into a new season. It feels like, okay, I'm aware of this, and God's going to help me deal with this, because in my weakness, He is strong.
Yeah.
So I give my weakness to Him. Mm-hmm. And that sort of levels the ground. That's my foundations there. And I'm now beginning to feel that, I have to make a conscious effort to step out of the box.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is what I believe, and to be that inviting person, just to say, here's what I believe. This is another viewpoint maybe to you. And hopefully people will then come on board. But I'm just acknowledging it here, really, Ken. It's not easy.
It is not.
And it's heartbreaking. But
it is.
If you just give it to... Give your insecurities to God and take mm-hmm. His strength.
Mm-hmm. And
sounds simple. Hey, I like to keep things simple. But it's not easy.
Yeah, Margaret. I'm going to get to you in just a second, Deborah. So what that stirs up for me, Margaret, and this is where I went, because when I saw all the resistance, I started having second thoughts. Well, what am I going to do? You know, blah, blah, blah. And I was reminded again, which we all know, 2 Timothy 1:7. Mm-hmm. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Mm-hmm. And for me, here's the way I wrote it. I mean, I just happen to have it in front of me because I'm thinking about it. God has given us the power to overcome our fear.
Yes, He has.
Yep. We can choose love rather than reacting with silence or with violence. Mm. We can choose love. And we can choose to use our best thinking rather than simply reacting in the typical ways. Because God has given us a spirit of discipline, power, and love. So, I read that verse through the lens of faith walking, right? Yeah, God's given us all this stuff. Deborah. Yeah.
Thank you, Ken.
Thank you, Margaret. Appreciate your honesty. Thank you, because we're all struggling with that same stuff.
Bless you. Thank you.
So this is a great lab for trying out the situations that we've been experiencing, okay? So I've got to put another example out there. I love that this is called the 5 characteristics of a regressive society. Now I'm going to marry that up with some of the stuff that's coming out on Facebook. There's a lot of condemnation, and you guys all know it, of, well, we're going to label you. We're going to label the progressives. We're going to label the conservatives. And one particular friend of ours who understands Bowen systems, we thought, a couple times in the last 3 years, he has shown up with a hugely anxious ego. And he just did it again last night and just pontificates. Mm. We're now wondering if he is bipolar too. Pontificating on he knows the solution. And only the conservatives will be able to usher in this new way. Mm. it just causes me to think, like, why is there this label of progressives? And if you take what you shared with us, to me, without the political label of progressive, because I don't want to be labeled that. I don't know what people mean by it. I just know I care more about progressing as a society and not being stuck in the old, as many of us have come out of the conservative background.
Right.
We align very strongly with Jesus, like you said. We have come out of that because we align with Jesus.
Yeah.
So just language to think about politically, progressives are disdained.
Right.
Do we want a progressive society? I do. But I don't know how to walk that out with language in the public sphere, other than a private conversation. But I don't even know where to begin to unravel all that.
Right. Yeah. And so here's what that stirs up for me, which is all I can do. What it stirs up for me is Jesus was political. But politics aren't the answer. What's Jesus' politic? Jesus is Lord. Caesar's not Lord. The Jewish king isn't Lord. Jesus is Lord. And so for me as a Jesus follower, there is that dimension that politics aren't the answer. Jesus is the answer. And what worries me, what concerns me, what makes me irritated, when I'm honest, is how many people just buy into, oh, my political party is the answer. And so I'm just totally loyal to my political party. And it doesn't matter which political party it is. So that's all I'm going to say there. Trisha wants to talk, and I want a letter.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Going along with what Deborah said, sometimes what I find helpful and disturbing is that some people seem to feel they can create the kingdom of God, heaven on earth, by their agendas. And I think it's helpful to have some humility that I'm not going to be able to create the kingdom of heaven on earth. I mean, I'm not going to be able to do that, no matter what my plan is or my activity stance. And sometimes it's humiliating and humbling to realize that that's not something I can do. And it puts it back, like you said, Ken, that Jesus is Lord, and it's his agenda, not mine. And that helps me get out of other people's faces when I kind of want to, you know, think that I've got all the answers. So I just thought I'd say that.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. I do believe God invites us to partner with God in the kingdom coming, but you're right. I'm not going to do it by myself. It's going to take all of us working together, but it's going to take all of us aligning with that kingdom agenda together. Good stuff. Thank you. Tammy, we've got 5 minutes. We might squeeze that one in real quick before we go.
I think the verse you shared answered my question for me.
Okay.
I've been meditating in my mind kind of on and off all week about the difference between positive energy and anxiety. Both stir us up, but one, the first, engages, some of my best thinking, whereas anxiety limits my thinking.
Mm-hmm.
But it shows up. I'm a high energy person, and so it shows up in indistinguishable ways sometimes, unless I'm conscious of my words and what I'm thinking about. But your verse, I also would connect anxiety with spirit of fear, and perhaps positive energy could be substituted for the word power.
Yeah.
And then what you said, 2 Timothy 1:7, put them together for me. I love it.
Good. Good.
Thank you. Is that fair?
Yeah, for sure. One final thought, and then we're going to go, because this is what got stirred up as you were talking, Tammy. when Jesus overturned the tables in the temple. I do not believe Jesus was out of control angry.
Absolutely.
I believe Jesus was under control. He knew what he was doing. He did it demonstratively to make his point really clear. And for me, that's positive energy. So there are times when I make a scene, sometimes positive energy will look like being a troublemaker, but it's really being the peacemaker that we talked about a couple of weeks ago. So thank you all so much for being here. I love the conversation. Love thinking with you. Appreciate it. We'll be back next week.
For more information about Faith Walking, visit www.faithwalking.us. We want to remind you that Faith Walking exists because of your financial support. Please consider giving at faithwalking.us/donate. Thank you for listening.
Until I see the Christ in you, till I'm looking through the eyes of love, till I'm looking through the eyes of